to another episode of the Book Echoes podcast. I'm your host, author Connie B. Dowell, and coming to you on the third week of social distancing at our house. So we're getting a little bit stir crazy. Now, today's episode is a pre-recorded author interview. So we talked to middle grade author Lori about her writing, about her experience as an author, and about her debut middle grade novel, Misadventures of a Magician's Son, which should be coming out April 1st, right as this podcast goes out. So something fun for you guys to read while you are holed up at home. And so we have a lovely chat with her coming up. After that, the rest of April is going to be focused on us all dealing with this new reality of work and life and writing. So before we move on to the interview, I do want to address kind of COVID coping a little bit in today's intro. And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of hit a wall a little bit this weekend. And one thing that helped me when I was frustrated, we've been, you know, trapped with small kids for a long time, guys, a long time. And I just had to go and sit in the backyard for a while. And going outside, if you're able to do so, really, really helps keep you emotionally regulated so you can go back to your life indoors. And we are lucky enough to have a backyard to our townhouse. Really grateful that we went with the townhouse when we decided on a place to move to instead of a flat apartment where we wouldn't have had the backyard available. Because the backyard has been a sanity point for me, a sanity point for the children. They can go outside and run around. But if you don't have a backyard to sit in, to connect with nature, or for some reason you can't access a backyard, going for a walk is still recommended, is still okay, unless regulations have changed at some point when you reach this hear this podcast. In most places, going for a walk is still encouraged. You just keep 6 feet away from any other people you might encounter. And here in the Northern Hemisphere, it's just starting to be spring. So it's actually a really beautiful time to go for a walk, to see all the flowers, which is something I had really, really felt disappointed by with all the quarantines. I'd been looking forward to going to the botanical gardens and seeing all the beautiful flowers there. Well, the gardens are closed, but my neighbors still have flowers in their yards and I can walk past and see them and get a little bit of a respite from the indoor life. Options, if for some reason you are not able to walk around outside, if you're able to get in a car and go for a drive, that is also something you can do while social distancing. And we did that this weekend as well with one of my kids' classmates. Her birthday party was unfortunately canceled. So what we did was we did a drive-by birthday parade, everybody in their cars, honking and waving to cheer her up. And the drive really cheered us up too. So going for a drive, going for a walk, getting out in small ways to help cheer yourself up. Connect with nature. I highly recommend it as much as you can during this time. Now, let's move on to the interview with Lori, which I think you're gonna enjoy.
So welcome to the Book Echoes podcast. Today on the podcast, we have author-illustrator Lori. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your forthcoming book?
Hi, Connie. It's a pleasure to be here. I'd love to. Well, a little bit about me. I am a graphic designer and an illustrator. And I had, for many years, I had a studio with clients in performing arts and in publishing in New York City. And then I did my first children's book, a picture book, the illustrations, back in the mid-90s, when you could actually mail a dummy to a publishing house and they would respond to you. And we were very lucky. I was working with some very dear friends who wrote a book, and I put the dummy together with the illustrations. And after about five or six submissions, we found Rizzoli Publishing in Manhattan was very interested in the project. And then, so I was an author, I was a graphic designer and illustrator, and then I had a book published, which was wonderful. And at that point, my husband wanted to start a new business, which was a completely different realm from what I was working in private yacht chartering. And so we ended up buying a big old wood boat and spending 3 years renovating it. And we have been operating private, elegant private yacht charters for the last 20 years. And in the winters, I have been working on all of my projects, which involved writing and illustrating. Twelve or 14 when you add them all up.
Okay, I'm actually going to back you up a little bit. We had a little bit of interference, and you right about the point where you were talking about fixing up the boat and doing the yacht, and then okay. We had this interference and sort of robot sounds.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So start at the point where my husband had this dream.
Yeah, so your husband had this dream, and you spent 3 years fixing up this boat.
Yes, he had a vision. I didn't quite see it when I saw the boat originally, but I grew to understand what he wanted to do, and then I stopped what I was doing to help him in this wonderful venture, and we created a beautiful yacht. I decorated it. I had some help. And he built it from the hull up. He basically took it down to the hull and then rebuilt it. And then I decorated it and hired staff. And so I'm basically an event coordinator on the high seas, as I call myself. Mm-hmm. But and it's wonderful. We've been in operation for about 20 years now. And one of the nice things is I get the winters off. And that's when I, you know, delve into my creative work. So over the last 12 years or so, I've been working on writing.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I know the internet is just not my friend today. Yeah. So it cut off when you said the winters are when you have your time to explore your writing and illustration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for the last, I'd say 12 or 13 years now, I've been spending the winter months writing and illustrating and editing Misadventures of a Magician's Son. So, and with the help of a number of critique groups, I am finally at the point where the book is going to be published this fall. It's a very exciting process. And for anybody writing or illustrating, patience is absolutely required.
Yeah, definitely. Can you tell us a little bit about the Magician book? It's a middle grade book.
It's a middle grade book. And it's the story of Alexander Finn's personal journey dealing with the death of his father, who was a celebrated magician, and the extraordinary gift he left his son. And so the story basically takes place when Alex and his mother move to Maine, and he is not a fan of Maine. He wants to stay in New York, where his friends are and where his soccer team is and where his science buddies are. But he's uprooted from this childhood home for a very out-of-the-way town in Orchard, Maine, and he refuses to unpack and wants nothing to do with his new surroundings. But when his father's desk arrives, and his father was a celebrated magician, and he's been waiting for his father's desk to show up because it's really one of the most important things that he cherished in his childhood. When his father's desk arrives and he discovers an unusual deck of animated cards tucked in the back, things begin to unravel, and Alexander begins this adventure. I don't know if I should say any more.
No, that's intriguing. So the mysterious deck.
Mysterious deck, yes.
Yeah.
But actually, I will just say that the cards are animated, but the Hart family are his real connection. The king, the queen, their son Jack, and Joker are the main, I would say, characters in the deck of cards who guide him and sometimes and help him through a very difficult time.
Wow. Yeah. So that sounds like a really intriguing concept. So what's something really special that this book offers to kids?
It's a very exciting book. I feel like I didn't give you a very good description of in that first part. I sort of feel like I'd like to do it again. But it's a very exciting book because what happens is he uses those cards in a magic tournament and he ends up getting them stolen. And they're picked up by a group of, unsavory characters, let's say, who take his cards, his magic cards, to a poker palace, and they start forcing them to win big money for them. And Alex has to figure out a way to get his cards back, and the only way he can do it is by performing the one trick his father never had a chance to teach him. So really the story is about, trying to overcome this, situation that he basically put himself in because he got careless, and now he's trying to figure out how to do this one trick. And so the thing that's really exciting for kids is there's a lot of magic tricks in the book, in the story. Alex is a great young magician, and he's very clever with cards. He does manipulations and illusions and shuffles, and he floats the cards. He's able to do all kinds of wonderful things. And anybody that's into magic will really appreciate this aspect, along with the journey that Alex is going on and how he finally is able to, work through his fears.
Yeah, that's excellent. I think, a lot of kids are really into magic, and that would be an element that would get them engaged in the story and would get them wanting to play with the deck of cards afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. They'll never look at a deck of cards the same way again. You see the king and the queen and Jack, and they're all having conversations with them, and you look at a deck of cards and you go, wow, these guys, I know them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we talked a little bit already about how you got started kind of writing and illustrating. So what kind of inspired you to write this particular story?
Well, I've been drawing since I was a child, and writing was not something I ever thought I would be able to do. I thought I was supposed to be an illustrator. And I found myself writing more and more and more. And that's when I started taking workshops, not just in children's books, but also in memoir and essay. And I started to, develop a sense of, especially in memoir, how to develop a sense of talking in the moment, describing things in the moment and being in the moment. With this particular book, I started writing what I thought was a picture book. And that happens, I think, with a lot. I've heard this from a lot of authors, that they started out with a picture book, and then somewhere along the way they realized, you know what, I don't know if this is actually a picture book. And that's what happened with me. I was, I'm very dear friends with a former middle grade librarian. How lucky was that, you know? And I asked her to read the original draft, which she loved, but she saw it was a much longer story than picture books normally are. And she actually recommended that I seek out middle grade books, read them, and see if I can, you know, rewrite this in a middle grade format. And so she gave me the names of a number of authors, which to this day I adore. Kate DiCamillo, mm-hmm. Neil Gaiman, Brian Selznick. Each of these people wrote mesmerizing, heartfelt stories. And I continue to read everything that they write. And very inspiring. And it changed the course of how I write and how the story unfolded. I also love the fact that Brian Selznick writes and illustrates his own work. And that was really empowering for me, because back when I was going to a few conferences like the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators Conference, and I was meeting with editors and agents, and they were all telling me that editors prefer picking their own illustrators for their projects, and made me a little sad, because I felt like the illustrations I had been working on through this project were very much a part of the whole storytelling. And but I said, okay, if that's, you know, how it's done, I'll put the illustrations away. And then a few years later, things changed, and now editors and publishers are looking for author illustrators that can write middle grade books. So I think my timing, it turned out to be, you know, quite good here. Did I answer your question?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah, you have, and you actually kind of answered the question of like what drew you into middle grade as well. So would you like to share with us kind of, you've shared a little bit about your journey getting, your path getting started on this book and getting started as an author illustrator. What's a challenge you may have faced as you developed along that path a little bit later in your story?
That's a great question. I would say it was after I pitched Misadventures of a Magician's Son at the Writer's Digest pitch event in New York City. That was an adventure in itself, but I pitched it to an agent who fell in love with the story. She asked me to send the manuscript, and that following Monday, she signed me to the agency, and I was thrilled. She took great interest in it, and she immediately sent it out to the top five publishing companies. And in just a few weeks, we got a response from one of them. They loved the story and asked for a few revisions, which we gave them. And then we sat and waited. So this was a high point for me. You know, I spent, as I said, several years honing the story, and now I'm having this out-of-body experience. I have an agent. I've got a very wonderful publishing company that's interested in the book. And then what happened was, unfortunately, they passed on the project. They had something that was similar. And then my agent left the company. So I went from an extreme high to like zero overnight. It's hard to even describe what that feels like. And I know I'm not the only one that has gone through this. But it was a very difficult time. It really was. I had to kind of try to put everything back in perspective, but it took me a little longer than I thought it would. And then a year later, I discovered Julie Hedlund's 12x12 picture book challenge. And I discovered this wonderful online forum of writers and illustrators who were not only working on their craft, but they were sharing similar issues. And they have been, for me, a support group that have guided me in my interactions with publishers and agents, and strengthened my attitude and presentation. So it's an all around wonderful community that I highly recommend to anybody that is writing or illustrating. And so I am still here. When I picked myself up and I started submitting again, the editors at Blue Whale Press were very interested in the story, and they took the opportunity and signed me. And so the book is now going to be a reality with my illustrations.
Excellent, excellent. And thank you for sharing that story. I think you're definitely not alone in those kinds of hiccups that happen. It is important for people considering a traditional publishing path that they might think, okay, all I got to do is get an agent and then I'm on the path. But sometimes path takes some turns.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was definitely a learning experience. And I do find myself being a little more cautious now. But I'm sure, I'm hoping this is helpful to anybody that's trying to get their work out there and published. It's a day by day kind of thing,
Yeah, definitely a day by day kind of thing. And everyone's path turns out a little bit different.
Exactly.
Okay. To back up a little bit, for people who maybe aren't that far along in the process, would you like to share a challenge you faced a little earlier on in your path writing and illustrating, and how you might have overcome that one?
Oh, certainly. I would say this to anybody that's, trying to write and illustrate: go to the conferences, go to as many as you can. I will say, and I think I actually mentioned to somebody on Facebook who was planning to go, when I went to my first Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators conference and I walked into the ballroom, it took my breath away. There were so many people there, so many people wanting to write picture books and illustrate and middle grade books. I almost cried. I had not been prepared to see that many people in this field. It is a truly, when you're on an online forum, you're imagining, a small, group, a family of people that you can share with. But when you see all those heads, it's like a sea of people in one room. It puts it in perspective. And that's just one conference in one town. It is a very competitive field. And there was something at that moment that was, quite visual connection for me, seeing, all these wonderful people that wanted to get into the same field. And so that was a little overwhelming. I went up to my hotel room and I cried. I literally cried. But I got over it. And then the next conference that I went to, I actually met a young lady in the elevator who was sobbing for the same reason. So I see that, this is this happens. I just happened to run into her and I put my arms around her and I told her, look, you just have to know you are doing something that is so different and so unique from whatever anybody else is doing. And you just have to stay focused. Just keep the blinders on in terms of that. But build friendships with this community because they are there and they will help you and guide you. Try not to look at it as interference in a sense.
Yeah, well, great advice. And it's actually something I would, I guess I've been in the world so long, I wouldn't have thought about that. Yeah. It really can be quite intimidating to walk into a huge conference like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But be prepared, bring water, mm-hmm. Be prepared for that moment and then embrace it. That's, just embrace it and try to make friends and you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, this community, especially of writers, especially children's and young adult writers and illustrators is very warm and welcoming.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you have any parting thoughts that you'd like to share with listeners?
I'm sure I'm repeating myself here, but if you're an author and you're looking to write and illustrate, if you're an author, read. Mm-hmm. Read the genres you're interested in, become a part of the writing community, join the SCBWI, Julie Hedlund's 12 by 12 picture book challenge, enter the 50 Precious Words contest, Tara Lazar's Story Storm, mm-hmm. The Children's Book Academy has all kinds of wonderful workshops. These are all great resources to help strengthen your writing skills. Work on your craft. Try not to focus on the goal of getting published. That's a really key right there. In the end, your work will flourish and editors and agents will be more likely to take notice. And for illustrators, you know, create a great website, obviously, if you can, and a range of work that's in color and black and white. Postcard mailings are still an excellent way to get your work out there in front of editors and agents. And get involved in online contests. Don't be afraid to take chances. Be inspired by other artists, but don't make the mistake of following trends too closely. That's really important. I see so many artists now, and this is just my opinion, but I see a lot of artists that are simply doing what they see out there that's popular. That I think the key is to try to be as individual as you are. Bring your spirit into everything you create, and you will not only find success, but in the end, satisfaction too.
Wow, that's great. Great parting thoughts. And all of those resources you mentioned are really wonderful if you're getting started in this industry. So Laurie, thanks again for coming on the podcast. Where can listeners find you and your work online?
My website is www.ls, as in Sam, let's say, L as in Lori, S as in Smollett, at K as in Katsara, illustration.com, lskillustration.com. And there is on the website this very cool page that I am still building with information about Misadventures of a Magician's Son that will also include the young magician I used as my my guide throughout the writing project. I would go and meet with him and he would show me tricks and help me understand the world of working with cards, and he's done quite a number of magic tricks, and I have a video that I'm going to be uploading and sharing more of his story, and we'll also be including young magicians and their card tricks shortly. We're putting out a call for a contest, and I'm really going to start focusing on gathering more young magicians for that page. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. Well, thank you again, Lori, and hope folks come out and look at your wonderful book, which should be out about the time that this podcast releases.
It's a pleasure, Connie. Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. And I hope that this has been helpful for you. I know listening to podcasts has been really helpful for me during this time of social distancing. So if you have enjoyed the show, if you've got some topics you would like to see covered later in April, please drop me a line, Connie@bookechoes.com, or comment on the show notes. You can find the show notes for all the episodes at bookechoes.com/show. I also really appreciate any ratings or reviews on Apple Podcasts or any podcast app that does accept ratings or reviews. Until next week, happy writing, folks!